friends. So good to be able to bless Madawi Christian School. And we're going to kind of be doing that in a little while after this message. It's also good to be prayerful and mindful of the other schools and students and teachers in our community. I don't know if you heard about the awful kidnapping at Madawi Private School last week. It was okay. He woke up at the end of class. We also need to pray for our teachers. I don't know if you know about there's a medical condition that's sweeping the nation where under the stress of teaching, they're developing cross eyes. Have you heard about that? They've tracked it down because it's teachers not being able to control their pupils. Sorry, I had to get them out. They've just been floating around for too long. Anyway. Has anybody got one of these? Passport? Yeah, I got an expired one too. How nice is it to have a passport? You know what's brilliant about having a passport is that you know whose country you belong to. And I don't know about you, those who have travelled overseas, I think the best thing about travelling overseas is just appreciating just how brilliant a country we live in. And the privileges of having a passport mean that when you come home, you have access to so much stuff that people could only dream of. And we see people just lining up and begging and praying to be able to get into Australia to enjoy what we enjoy in terms of a secure place to live relatively in the world. We get such great social security and health, public health systems and law and order, and it's just beautiful, isn't it? Who's got two passports? Is anybody here dual citizens? Yeah, I'm jealous of you. I'd love to have that twice so that you can come to Australia, enjoy all the benefits of Australia, and then you go to the UK or New Zealand or America or wherever it might be, and you get the benefits of being in both places. Well, I'm hoping to have some really good news for you today. And that is that if you are a follower of Jesus, if you've chosen to make Jesus your Lord and King, you are a dual citizen. Every one of us are dual citizens. I'm going to get onto that in just a couple of minutes. But the other great news, there's just so much more good news about the good news than we realise. And I'm going to ask Tiana to read some verses at the front end of the message. And the first one is just the good news of salvation. Jesus came to bring salvation to the world. And I should use my clicker.
If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is believing by in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Jesus came to Galilee preaching.
Just thanks, Tiana. That's great. And the gospel of salvation is great news, isn't it? What do we have to do? Believe in our heart, declare with our mouths, and we are saved. But in addition to that, that's not the end of the good news. That's only the start of the good news. There's actually more good news than the gospel of salvation, and that's the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is what Jesus was all about. When you read through the Gospels. And I'll just get Tiana to read through a number of verses. And again, this is only just a little snippet, but just to try and illustrate the point of the Gospel of the Kingdom. Thanks, Tiana.
Jesus came to Galilee preaching the Gospel of the Kingdom of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the Kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the Gospel." But Jesus said to them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to the other cities also, because for this purpose I have been sent." And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Now it came to pass afterward that he went to every city and village, preaching and bringing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God.
The kingdom of God is a really big thing. I don't know if you've noticed it in the gospel. If you want to kind of really get an appreciation of the kingdom, just read through the Gospel of Matthew, the first book of the New Testament, and look at it and read it through the eyes of what is Jesus telling us about the kingdom, because it is brilliant. And it's what I want to focus on today. I want to just whet your appetite for the kingdom of God and what that means for us. And more importantly, I've got this brilliant teaching video that goes for about 13 minutes that will help you to view your difficult circumstances of life through a kingdom lens. So just going back to the citizenship. Tiana, if I can get you to read a couple of sections from the letter to the Philippians.
I was circumcised when I was 8 years old. I am pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin and real Hebrew if there was ever one. But we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Saviour. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose, fighting together for the faith, which is the good news.
So good. Well read. Thanks, Tiana. How rich is it to know that we're not just citizens of here on earth, but we're citizens of heaven here and now, not just after we die. We'll get into a full experience of the kingdom and a different experience, but we actually get to be citizens of heaven even here and now. Just got to do a demonstration, illustration for you in a couple of minutes. I just want you to consider two questions, bit bizarre, but if you can talk about this with someone you're sitting next to, just two questions, I'll just give you a minute. What part do you play in the kingdom of God? And we'll get to this one later, but what's a current problem or frustration in your life? Okay, if anyone hasn't got one, I'll get you to come and pray for me afterwards, okay? So just for a minute, if you can just turn to someone near you, just share what do you think your part is to play in the kingdom of God, and what's one current problem or frustration in your life? Okay, thanks. It's okay, I've fallen off this ladder once before, I'm sure it's not going to happen again. You look a lot different from up here. The things God asked me to do, but just to really illustrate the point that God really wants us to have a kingdom perspective on life and on ourselves. And so I just want to touch on a few things about the kingdom that God wants us to enjoy and appreciate. Firstly, what and where is the kingdom of heaven? It's a little bit like any other earthly kingdom. The kingdom of Britain, say, is wherever the rule and reign of the king is experienced. It's wherever the ways of a king are lived out in a community. So the kingdom of heaven is the same in terms of the kingdom of heaven exists wherever people are living out of, under the rule and reign and the ways of their King Jesus. And so the kingdom of heaven is brilliant. It's massive and it's expanding. And the kingdom is bigger and better and growing faster than you realize. We can't measure the kingdom based on what's happening in the Western church. The Western church is contracting at the moment, but the wider church is exploding. And ironically, it's in the places where you would not expect people to be comfortably Christian, but it's exploding across the globe. And the thing is, Isaiah prophesied about Jesus, saying that our experience of him will be a wonderful counselor, a mighty God, everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Who here experiences that about Jesus? And his government and its peace will never end. His government and its will continue to grow and will never end. The kingdom is everywhere. I kind of like to picture it more of, it's not a geographically bound click. I don't know if you can see this picture, but it's kind of like when you see a city at night and you see where the lights are. For me, that's kind of a better illustration of the kingdom. It's the light inside the lives of people across the globe or any area who carry the light in the life of Jesus. That's where the kingdom is. We are the carriers of the kingdom. We are the ones who get to experience and to demonstrate and to share the ways of the King. Does that make sense? Click. The other thing to understand is that there's another kingdom. Jesus really clearly talks about another kingdom. The kingdom of darkness is very real and it has an influence in this world. And it's the reason for the bad stuff that happens in the world. It's not so much people who are the enemy. It's an enemy of God who's working through people. And Jesus warns us and helps us to understand that we're at war in his kingdom against another kingdom. But it's really important to know that, click back, that's all right, the kings are not equal. It's not a chess game where you've got black and white. The kingdom we're up against is just a tiny fraction of the power of our king. So it's not a good versus evil, yin and yang. The enemy we're up against has nothing compared to our king. And God wants us to help his kingdom to be known and experienced in this world. That famous teaching on prayer. What does Jesus say? May your kingdom come. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Or more explicitly in Matthew 24. The good news about the kingdom will be preached throughout the whole world so that all nations will hear it and then there will come. Every nation, tribe and tongue will have the opportunity of having Jesus as their king. And his kingdom is going to be represented right across the globe. And we have a part to play in extending his kingdom through letting people know about it. And Jesus wants everyone to, he doesn't want anyone to miss out on being in his kingdom. He doesn't want anyone to miss out on the benefits of having him as king and all the benefits that come in his kingdom. But it's a choice. It's a free will choice. As he said to Nicodemus, anyone and everyone can enter the kingdom of God, but it comes not just from natural birth, the birth of water, but a birth of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. People enter the kingdom by allowing the Spirit of Christ to come into their life. And we get the chance to experience that and to let other people know about it. And Jesus wants us to have a high priority for the kingdom. When he was talking about, what are you worried about? All of this stuff in life that you just hung up about and focused on. Tell you what to do. Seek first the kingdom of God above everything else. Live rightly. Live his way of doing life. And you'll get everything you need. That's just the way it rolls. The kingdom needs to be central in our life. And lastly, I just want to encourage you and just roll into this video by a guy by the name of Graham Cook. But seeing our life through a kingdom lens, from a kingdom perspective, knowing God is so ridiculously good that he wants even the bad stuff in our life to be brilliant for us. And he encourages us at the start of James, when troubles of any kind come, and that's a good reminder that they will, consider an opportunity for great joy. Amen? We say that in faith. You know that when your faith's tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. And God wants to do that and allow that to happen because when the endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So I just want to roll into a video. It goes for 13 minutes. It was a 60-minute video, so it might seem a little bit long, but I've watched this video about at least 10 times, and it has changed my life. Chris introduced me to Graham Cook many years ago, and I got the privilege of hearing him in person a few years ago. And the thing that astounded me was that Chris was saying, and he reiterated when I heard him directly, that in 15 years, he has not experienced anxiety once. In 15 years. And in that 15-year period, his business had failed at least once, and he'd been through a divorce. Yet he had not experienced anxiety once. And I thought, hang on a second, how can that be? But as I listened to his teaching and his understanding of who Jesus is to him and the way that the kingdom works in his life, I can understand why he had no anxiety. So I just want to kind of whet your appetite to kind of look through this as a way and take a note of the video. It's on YouTube, The Language of Heaven, Graham Cook. Watch it all for yourself. There's so much more. I only took out some snippets. I apologise for the dodgy edit. But I really hope that it helps you understand a little bit more about the kingdom and the way God wants to work, even through the difficulties in life.
I don't know if you know this or not, but you're not on your own. There are two people inside here. One of them is you. The other one is the one who never leaves you nor forsakes you. That what's different between the old covenant and the new covenant is the old covenant was a visitational culture. The new covenant is a habitational one. The Bible says that you are a new creation. What does that mean? You're a race of people never seen in the earth before Jesus. Everyone before Christ had the power of God come on them. It could lift off them. But now in Christ, God comes and he makes his abode in you. And so he never leaves you nor forsakes you. So he's always with you. And he's with you to teach you how to be a citizen of heaven here on earth. He's teaching you how to think like he thinks. How to see like he sees, how to talk like he talks. He's teaching you how to grow up into Christ in all things. And a big part of that, initiation into that, is that because you have Christ living inside you, never again will anything be impossible for you. That's what he's saying here. With man, all manner of things are impossible, but with God, all things now become possible. What that means is you're never the victim of an impossibility ever again. Because now in Christ, we get to turn problems into possibilities. It means we're never subject to any negativity. The world is inherently negative, but the kingdom isn't. It's like there's no frustration in heaven. You think anyone standing around the throne right now going, how much longer is this worship service going to go on for? I could kill one of the angels for a coffee. There's no frustration in heaven. So here's the deal. If it doesn't exist in heaven, it can't exist here. If it's not intended, it cannot be allowed. If it's not intended, it cannot be allowed. If it's not in Christ, we don't want it. We don't accept it. So what is it about this Christ life that turns everything upside down and inside out? It's a mindset. It's a perception. It's a language that he carried from heaven to earth. And when you read the Gospels, what you are seeing is Jesus saying, this is how we do stuff in heaven. And then he says to us, greater things than these shall you do. And what it means is you are not subject to the world around you. You are making yourself vulnerable to the kingdom. Just saying. Brilliant thinking is a way of life for you. Brilliant perceptions is how you view things. And your language is like nothing the world has ever heard before. You take all your cues from a realm that is nothing like the world around you. We grew up with the way the world thinks. But in the kingdom, we have to do battle with the way the world thinks. When you get a problem in life, this is how heaven would see it. No problem can come to you without a promise and a provision attached to it. Why? Because problems are designed to bring you into your provision through a promise. So every promise, every problem has a promise and a provision attached to it. Literally attached. You can't have one without the other. And what we're learning to do is to see the promise, step into the promise, and understand then that the situation that's occurring is designed to get me to live in that promise and move into that provision. So what happens then when you get a problem and you know who Jesus is for you? You get excited about that problem because it's amazing, because what if the size of the problem tells you the size of the promise? And what if a promise is always bigger? So if the promise is bigger than the problem, how much bigger is the provision going to be? So you're starting to get stretched in your thinking and your perception and your language. Every negative thing around you is designed to give you an upgrade. Why? See, when Jesus died on the cross and God put all of your sin onto him, he didn't just put all of your behavior, he put all of your negative emotions, all of your negative thinking. He put all of those things there. Any sarcasm, cynicism, pessimism. He put all of that died on the cross too. Yeah? So you're not allowed to think negatively or talk negatively. Bad Christian. You're not allowed to think negatively at all about anything. Why would you want to when there is a way of thinking in Jesus that is absolutely stunning? It's brilliant. And it opens you up to a whole realm of possibilities. Every obstacle is designed to elevate you. But sometimes, you know, it's like you're walking along and suddenly this brick wall comes down in front of you and there's some kind of obstacle. It could be something at work, something in relationships, it could be finances, it could be whatever it is. Something is there, it's in front of you, and it stops you moving forward. And sometimes, you know, we want to blame it on somebody else. It's like, I'm so frustrated. No, you're not frustrated. I mean, you're choosing frustration, but you're actually not frustrated. And the only reason you're choosing frustration is because you haven't got used to a brilliant way of thinking. So you're defaulting. You're defaulting to the old man, whereas you could actually be upgraded to the new man, which is who you really are if you're in Christ. And that is our lives. We default to the world around us. We default to our own tradition as a human being. We default to the culture that we grew up in. We default to something when everything that God is doing is to elevate us out of that place into a different way of thinking. If God is trying to make you like him, that means he's going to change the way that you think. I mean, totally change the way that you think. Because here's the thing, he doesn't want to think like you. He doesn't want to be made in your image. There is a reason why he killed you off. Because he didn't want to deal with your stuff. He wanted to make you new. He wanted you to consider yourself to be dead to that and alive to this. The question is, what is God making you alive to? Why do you have these difficulties and circumstances? They're all there as a shortcut. They're all there to give you an upgrade. They're all there to elevate you. They're all there to teach you that there's a whole new design of you that needs to come out. They're all showing you this is who you are. They're all telling you, don't think on this level, think on this level. They're all opportunities for you to grow up into Christ in all things. What we're learning is we're learning how to be full when we actually got needs. We're learning how to get our needs met, but then we're also learning how to step into our inheritance. Every single thing in your life is a learning opportunity, and it's designed to teach you how to become like Jesus. So here's the thing. Can we stop complaining? This is my two-word counseling ministry. Stop it. Do you know what our real problem is? We don't realize how amazing we are. We don't realize how brilliant we really are in Christ. We don't see life from the standpoint of His majesty. We don't understand that His supremacy, that He really has conquered everything, and that He came to bring heaven to earth and teach us how to be citizens of heaven here on earth. The Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. That's what we're learning. As He is, so are we in this world. Every single situation in your life is designed to make you more like Jesus. We have to stop crying out for rescue and start looking for majesty. Start looking for God's supremacy. The Father has never been overwhelmed by anything. Jesus is undefeated, and the Holy Spirit always leads us in triumph. I am an unashamed triumphalist. I'm a celebrant. I want to celebrate the majesty and the sovereignty of God. I want to know what it is to be full of who Jesus is. And a part of that is that very often we are defeated by the mindset that we have. So Romans 12:2 says that we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Most of us lose it in the space between our ears, in our thinking. We think negatively, we're losing it. Jesus has come to give us His mindset. There is a mindset on the Spirit that's full of life and peace. Our thinking is a critical thing. Your circumstances are not the problem. Your perception of your circumstances is the problem. If you're in Christ, so are all your circumstances. What does it look like for you to take that circumstance and put it into Jesus? To surround it with the presence of God? To look at it the way that He would look at it? There's a discipline here that comes out of the fact that Jesus is delightful. There's a discipline here that enables us to walk with passion and to be delighted about what's happening because we know who God is for us. And to know that God will go to extraordinary lengths to teach us how to walk in Him, how to live in Him, how to be in Him.
Messes with my brain, I don't know about you. And again, I just encourage you to listen to the whole thing or watch the whole thing. Graham Cook, Language of Heaven. So I just want to do two things before we finish up and move on to the last bit of our service, and that is just if you could just dust off that problem I asked you to think about earlier on. Just if you could close your eyes and just think about that problem that came to mind. And I just want to really start a conversation between you and God, because we do have a God that speaks and a God that loves us to learn to hear his voice. And I just want to just ask three questions around this problem of yours. Firstly, God, how do you see this problem? What's your take on this problem? The second question I want to ask is, how do you want to use this problem to help me become more like you? How do you want to use this problem to make me become more like Jesus? And the third question I want invite you to ask him is, who do you want to be for me in this situation? Who do you want to be for me in this situation? So again, I won't have time to kind of process all the way through, but I just want to just start a conversation between you and God around that problem of yours. See what he wants, how he wants to use it. If I could invite the band to come up. I just want to just pray into what we've talked about today. I just hope again that it whets your appetite for the more of the kingdom, to understand what it is, this life you actually are invited into through Jesus. So if I can invite you to pray with me. Jesus, thank you for being our King, and help us to understand the privileges of being in your kingdom. Help us to increasingly understand how important and significant your kingdom is in our lives and is for the world around us. Help us to realize that your kingdom is expanding and will grow, and we'll be inviting all the nations, tribes and tongues of the world will be a part of your kingdom. And I pray that as you directed us in the Lord's Prayer, that we will actively agree with the will of our Father to see the ways of heaven be experienced here on earth. Pray that we will see and experience life from a different perspective, and including all of our problems and challenges, help us to see things your way. Help us to realize that there is a kingdom of darkness, and we know that it can and is defeated by the name of Jesus. It's not equal, and it's not going to be here for forever. That's a thing. And I pray that you will help us be people who get to enjoy living out of your kingdom, living in your kingdom, and be sharers of the great news of your kingdom to the people around us. Help us understand and experience what it's like to have life that is the richest of all, that only comes through putting our faith in Jesus, making him King of our lives. So I pray all of these things in Jesus' name, and everybody who agreed, amen.